Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Underway on a Saturday. No Shaletta Brundage today. She has a day off. We have kind of an unusual day on the radio. No Shaletta. So I'm starting early, but then we're ending early because we have the Twins and the Phillies. Game two of the three-game set from Philadelphia as the Twins wind down the season this weekend. Once again, Twins and Phillies lineup card 4:30. First pitch after 5. Here on the home of the Twins. We will sprinkle in some college football scores. Gophers underway early against Rutgers. We'll follow the Ryder Cup throughout the day. So we've got that going for us and just absolutely gorgeous weather. But I do want to follow up. And there is one note on the weather before we jump into the Lynx and the fact that their season is now teetering on the brink already against the Phoenix Mercury. But it's certainly been dry and comfortable. But to our north, there is concern about fire weather already. That near critical fire weather conditions across much of northern Minnesota. Relative humidity values drop into the 20 to 30% range, and it has been breezy this morning. So it doesn't include the Twin Cities, but it does include the entire northern third of the state. So be aware of that. And as you heard a moment ago with Al, no mention of rain. Well, game three. The WNBA semifinals, Minnesota Lynx, Phoenix Mercury last night, and things got off the rails late in the game. Really a close game. Ultimately, Phoenix pulls away to win it, and fireworks at the end of the game. Cheryl Reeve was ejected. She was as mad as I've seen any coach at any level in any situation this side of Bobby Knight. She was enraged when Nafisa Collier was fouled and injured. There was an old call. It was a steal. It was a foul. Her knee got hit. Her ankle got twisted. It looked like she could have even possibly injured her hip on the play. And Phoenix pulls away. They lead this series 2-1, and they can close it out at home, which would be a major upset, of course. The Lynx, the number one seed. Producer Lindsey Brown joins me on this Saturday afternoon. You saw it. Mm-hmm. I saw it. A wild finish. And you've been around sport your entire life. I've been around sports for a long, long time. I haven't seen a coach that enraged. And I'll use the example this side of Bobby Knight. She was really mad.
I think it took about six individuals to really put themselves between her and the ref. She ran onto the floor as play was resuming, right? Basket scores, goes behind the bucket, and then gets taken up the floor. And she ran onto the floor just to start yelling at the ref. And, you know, you see players that have that range of emotion, especially with you're running a lot. We talk about how great of athletes tennis players are because of what's asked of them to control their emotions. Yeah. Same type of thing in cardiovascular fitness. But when you see a player like Fee get hit the way that she did, which was very violent. And I, you know what? Like, you go for a steal, you go for a steal. But that was the last straw of the non-call that persisted for the entire night. She had no free throw attempts. And we'll play the audio here. Coach Reef mentions that. And I just don't see how you could look at an officiating performance. You have a superstar player on one team that had absolutely no fouls called for her. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and that has been a theme throughout the WNBA all year. As this league continues to grow, attendance is up. Television ratings are up. We all know the story. It continues to get bigger and stronger. But among all the coaches, the theme is that the officiating needs to be dramatically improved across the board. You mentioned Cheryl Reeve. We had to do a little work. Not all of it was fit for putting on the public airwaves. But here is an edited version of Cheryl Reeve post game.
Who was it that asked about officiating before the game? Is that you, Kendra? And we talked about how dangerous it can be. You hearing it from the other series. You're hearing other coaches. You're hearing Becky talk about when you let the physicality happen, people get hurt. There's fights. And this is the look that our league wants for some reason. We were trying to play through it. We tried to make excuses. One of the best players in the league shot zero free throws. Zero. And she had five fouls. Zero free throws. Got her shoulder pulled out and finished the game with her leg being taken out and probably has a fracture. And so if this is what our league wants, okay. But I want to call for a change of leadership at the league level when it comes to officiating. It's bad for the game. The officiating crew that we had tonight, for the leadership to deem those three people semifinals playoff worthy is malpractice. I can take an L with the best of them. I don't think we should have to play through more than what they did. We got players and get cracked and there's no call. And all of them said, it wasn't my call. I don't know. I didn't see it that fucking awful.
Yeah, I mean, that is, I would assume coming out of that, there are going to be some fines.
Just a few dollars.
Yeah, I would think so. But she makes a statement, and as I said, leading into the cut, this has been a reoccurring theme around the WNBA, is, and I think in any given game, you could probably rip the refs. Mm-hmm. And I think to use that as an excuse more times than not, I don't think it's good form. But I think in this case, and she made a couple of great points that I want to amplify here. In my opinion, when you have one of the top players in the league, in Nafisa Collier, and it is very physical. And you're going to see that in the playoffs. You're going to see that in the WNBA. You're going to see that in the NBA. The games are more physical. They let more things go defensively, a little clutching, a little grabbing, that sort of thing. But it gets right down to it. Fouls are still fouls, and the consistency becomes a concern. And Lindsay, it's hard to argue with anything. Now they're down 2-1. They're not out of the series. But you've got a situation in the league, and another thing she brought up, I totally agree, is what the look you want. And I think it started to a certain extent with Caitlin Clark, where there was viral videos every other game where, you know, Caitlin Clark was getting steamrolled, and people were, what's going on here? They have allowed that physical play across the board in the league this year, and I agree. I don't know if it's a good look.
No, and you want to protect your best players. We talk about that a lot in the hockey world and officiating because sure. It's just a different level of ruthlessness and mostly disregard for the human body. But when it comes to the WNBA and this metamorphosis that the league itself is going through, but then also our views of athletes that happen to be women, right? There's all of these, that's allowed, that's not allowed. That Caitlin Clark coverage, remember, Steve, that was a lead story on CNN that she was assaulted on the basketball court. And to right. that I say, yeah. that's crazy. Yeah. Like, we have to expect, especially these women that are at the top of their game and working for their whole lives for these opportunities, right? You expect them to fight tooth and nail for every single possession. So you expect that level. But there has to be lines in which you can rely on others to expect that's too much, that's not good enough. And to feature your product with its best foot forward. And so it's not a good look to have Fee get absolutely clotheslined from the bottom out, and then they're going back to Phoenix. And this is a team that does a great job at not allowing you to find a rhythm. I think that's what I would put most of effective about Phoenix's gameplay, and they have some real players on that squad. Obviously, Alyssa Thomas doesn't need any introduction for me, but it just hasn't felt like the team has been able to find their rhythm. And so how do you do that going forward? Like, how do you reset after game? Well, now you have that motivating factor. You got a blessing from coach, right, to kind of go, not scorched earth to try to hurt anybody, but you got to go out there with that extra factor. And they're going to need it, especially if Nafees is out. And then we're not really sure about what they're going to be doing at the point guard position, because we had one stud taking it up the court yesterday, and then we had the other one taking up the previous game. And so there's a lot of moving parts. Uh-oh. Well, it seems like we have a lot of moving parts here on WCCO as well. I'm looking at a computer feed just to the left of me where Steve is coming out from, and it says, you've lost the connection to clean feed. That's very unfortunate for all of us involved. But thankfully, I've experienced in this type of debauchery. If you've missed anything so far, that is me completely podcastable on the Odyssey app. Sports Weekend with Steve Thompson. I'm going to work on getting Steve back online here with us next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Cheryl Reeve ejected. Lynx drop game 3 of the WNBA semifinals to Phoenix. And now the Lynx have to win on Sunday night, 7 o'clock our time, to keep this series alive and send it back to Target Center. Meanwhile, Las Vegas and Indiana are in the same boat in their series, and once again, both series. By the way, Las Vegas and Indiana play tomorrow afternoon as well. Let's get into a couple of things. There's no doubt the Lynx reeling, Cheryl Reeve reeling after what happened at Game 2 in Target Center, and then certainly a very frustrating finish. She's ejected. Collier is injured at the end of the game. Lots of complaints about the officiating. Now they've got to try and get right today and force a game 5. At some point you got to put that in the rearview mirror and go, we got to get it done in game 4 against a very talented team.
Yeah, absolutely. And We don't know if Collier's going to be available. I got to think, even if she was, she would be probably hobbled up. It'd be a tough go, and I'm not going to question her on any, because everybody wants to go in these situations. But if it's that bad of an injury, which it looked like it is, they're going to be in a tough spot. They're going to be in a really tough spot. And so, but this is what, this is where you lean on the earlier season, Steve, where they were missing Collier for a number of games, and they actually had a pretty darn good record when they were playing without her. So maybe, you know, things are poetic and those preparations for this exact moment.
Yeah. So it will be fascinating to see the response for the Lynx once again in game four coming up tomorrow night. Once again, Las Vegas and the MVP, Asia Wilson. And she hasn't been getting calls either. I mean, the play has been physical. Facts. She hasn't been going to the line. So it's not just Fee not getting to the line. This is kind of a universal thing. And back to Reeves' comments, and I think this is important. And she'll get fined. I don't think there's any doubt about it. We haven't seen word on that, on fine for post-game comments that you heard. But Is this what the league wants, where physical play, injuries, brawling, a lot of frustrated people on both sidelines, is that what we're doing here?
Yeah.
And that is something, as a league collectively, they've got to sort out. This isn't pro wrestling.
Well, and it just speaks again, Steve, to, I think, that reimagination, or us moving into a new way of thinking about sports with women. This is part of the investment, right? That you're getting the top level referees you can, that you're having different training regimens that you can put them through, put them through camps, make sure they have simulated games, right? There's a lot of different ways in order to improve your product when it comes to officiating. But in the past, where was that money going to come from, right? They didn't have monies for locker rooms. They didn't even have their own facilities. And so this is where they need to get better. Yeah. And I think it's be something that they can maybe address in the collective bargaining. Like, is that something that's usually talked about? I'm not even sure, because that's deep in the nitty-gritty lawyerism everything, don't you think?
Yeah, I think right now players want more money.
Yeah.
You know, they were able to get charters. There is a big collective bargaining agreement fight. And by the way, Fee is in the middle of that, and one of the labor leaders among the players. But I think when it comes to officiating, that's owners, that's league, that's making a commitment to, as you pointed out, I'm not saying all the officials in any league, it is a difficult job. Anybody who's tried to officiate, I umpired what amounted to be Little League way, way back in the day, you know, just calling balls and strikes, that isn't easy, let alone world-class athletes at full speed. You know, we have the benefit of replay, and I think this is something to remember about officiating. We have replay. We have slow-mo. They can slow it down frame by frame. They're doing it on the fly in real time. And when you sit close at a WNBA game or an NBA game or an NHL game or a PWHL game, whatever, these are pro athletes at the peak of their powers. The speed and the quickness, and you're asking mortal human beings to officiate this in real time. It ain't easy.
No, and the thing is, too, we know what we can get away with, right, Steve? They know the
little ips and
the quips. Like, these are very experienced people. I'll never forget. I love talking about myself and my former career. And I was a goalie, in case anybody hasn't heard yet. And sometimes you get stuck in your defensive zone for a really long time. And in effort to get a break, you maybe send the puck down, get an icing call, right? But then the faceoff comes back down. Nobody can change. That's usually a rule. Just so nobody's trying to skirt the rules, or at least live with the consequences of their actions. And I would just sit down. Oh, look at my goalie strapped near my skate. Oh, it's undone. Yeah. I have to redo it. Oh, does this little thing go in the hole? I forgot. Just to get an extra few seconds here and there. And the ref skates up. He's like, I know what you're doing. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I just had this malfunction in my strap.
My pads are loose.
Or if you're not as sneaky, you just knock the post off, right?
Yeah.
You slide into the post. Oh, it came off the awnings, right? There's little ways in which people find a way to get an edge. And so this is just a necessity for further education. And maybe it's just they got to bring that Unrivaled League together. Let's get the refs from the Unrivaled League and then bring them over to the WNBA. But then the WNBA, I don't know if they'd be happy about that because then they start looking real bad.
Well, and I think that's part of the evolution.
Mm-hmm. It's
like when you get to the point where, you know, you have, you know, a four-time WNBA champion coach, national team coach in Cheryl Reeve, just flat out saying, you know, we've got to be better. This isn't what people in the league office and the commissioner should sit up and take notice. Will she get fined?
Yes.
I think she will, and probably should get fined. But I also think there's a lot of meaning in those words, and people should pay attention to what Cheryl Reeve is saying in that situation. Another thing I want to jump into, and this has to do with Cheryl Reeve and swearing at a spectator on her way out of the arena in Phoenix. And then Rory McIlroy at the Ryder Cup yesterday, a gesture that isn't polite to the spectators at the Ryder Cup at Bethpage State Park in New York. Where's the line there? And I do want to get into that in more detail, but we've got a break. We'll get you up to date on the weather. We'll keep it short and sweet. We're talking lovely weather for the foreseeable future. And we'll have the details in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
12:33 on a Saturday News Talk, 830-WCCO, Steve Thompson, Lindsey Brown. Shaletta has a day off. She'll be back next Saturday between noon and 3. Shaletta taking this final Saturday in September off. By the way, Twins and Phillies later, our lineup card at 4:30, first pitch just after 5. Phillies on to the postseason. Twins playing their final two before they go into the offseason. And a lot of drama atop the American League Central. The Tigers and the Guardians are tied. Detroit is at Fenway playing the Red Sox, and the Guardians are at home playing the Rangers. We'll have more on that a little bit later on in the program. Back to the WNBA. The Lynx down 2-1. They'll try and keep their season alive and force a game 5 with a win in Phoenix tomorrow night, 7 o'clock our time. Cheryl Reeve, as mad as I've ever seen a coach, this side of Bobby Knight. I don't know, you've been around sport a long time, and have you seen a coach that mad? And they get mad, and they need to be held back. She was as mad as I've seen at the end of that game,
mm-hmm.
Lindsay.
I mean, I've seen coaches react very poorly, but for some reason, like last night's feels warranted, and maybe it's because of a player being injured. Maybe it's because I've seen people melt down for like the smallest of reasons, right? Where there's not like you're wasting your emotional dysregulation on this problem, and so regardless. She was in a territory that, in a different context, you might be having a meeting, right? You might be having a meeting. It's not the greatest of looks, the way that all that transpired. I think the people around her handled it really well. I think we've seen things get out of hand because sometimes there's the jawing in the NBA, and then more people get involved. They start jawing as well. Everybody was just kind of like, let's keep Cheryl, you know, just to the outside. Let's box her out like we've been trying to do, you know, through the key this whole game. Let's see how effective we can be. But when you're coming to the defense of your player, let alone your star player, if you don't do that, doesn't your team look at you differently? Right? Like, if there's any time for you to completely crash out, as the kids would say, isn't it right then? Isn't everything basically forgiven at that point because it's gotten so bad and because of the stakes of the context late postseason run?
Yeah. And I think there's another part of the story, and it happened in this game where obviously the fans and the WNBA and the NBA, in my opinion, are unique in sport. Golf has won the Ryder Cup, and they'll be an example. The spectators are relatively close. In hockey, mm-hmm. you got the boards, you got the glass.
Yep, you're in the aquarium.
I'm sure you can hear, you know, chants and cheering and so on and so forth, but it's not like hoops where the fans are right there. And after all of this, Cheryl Reeve used profanity on her way off the floor toward a fan. Now, there's probably a ton of profanity coming her way.
For sure.
So I guess I'm not offended by the response. And Rory McIlroy, the fans at Bethpage in the Ryder Cup yesterday were riding him pretty hard, and he did the he gave him the bird on.
He did. He flipped the bird.
The bird came out.
The bird arrived. That's the stork.
The bird was at Bethpage as he left the course, and I think we're at that point where I think the fans are trying to get a reaction, and they are getting a reaction. And I'm not going to 100% defend it. You know, it's probably not a great look. I wish players and coaches would be able to completely tune it out. But they are human beings. Mm-hmm. And I think there should be an expectation from the spectators. And I think teams are doing a better job of this. You know, what's that line? And when you cross that line, because you buy a ticket, let's face it, free speech, you know, and there's been a lot of discussions about free speech lately.
Free speech and, question mark?
Yeah. But when it comes to a sporting event and there are other people around you, I remember I brought my daughter to a Viking game years ago at the Metrodome. And maybe I've told you this story. I think I've told it on the air before. But the Vikes are playing at the Metrodome. We got tickets. She had never been to a game. And I said, well, you know, you got to at some point experience a pro football game. And it's a noon Sunday game. And I warned her up front. She was probably 12 years old in that 10 to 12. And I said, you know, there's going to be bad language. Mm-hmm. And even though it's noon on a Sunday, there's going to be drunk people. You know, it's a pro football game.
Yep, the full spectrum of humanity. You're going to find it here.
And we got free tickets. They were good seats, longtime season ticket holder. We were in, like, the fourth row of the upper deck, but at, like, the 40-yard line. So these were nice seats.
Also terrifying, though, because you're right on the edge.
Well, yeah, right. Not right on the edge, but like four or five rows back.
Yeah.
Good seats, though, to view the game. Very good seats to watch a football game. We're in our seats by about 11:30. We got something to drink, something to eat. You know, she's excited. I'm excited. All the pregame stuff is going on. About 15 minutes before kickoff, the Minneapolis police are hauling a drunk woman out of the back rows of the upper deck at the Metrodome, bombed and swearing.
Oh, no. Not the classy lady.
Classy stuff.
Oh, all class.
You know, so she's mad at the police, mad at the people around her. People are giving her a hard time. Said way too much to drink, way overserved on a Sunday morning, and she's getting tossed out. But here's what's crazy. 10-15 rows behind us, there's a lot of knuckleheads during the game that are dropping bad language from the upper deck. No way the officials or the players or the opposing team can hear these jokers. And that's where it's like, you bought a ticket, but do you have the right to swear all day at the top of your lawn? I say no.
Well, you know, Steve, if you got money, you can do whatever you want. Since I've given you the ultimate currency, I get free range, right? That's how we look at everything these days.
Yeah, and, you know, once again, heated moment last night. Cheryl Reeve getting a – I mean, it was pandemonium for a second. You know, I thought someone was going to get hit. You know, it was wild. And very charged, emotionally charged, bad language, so on and so forth. And then, you know, razzing Rory McIlroy. Obviously, at some point across the line, because the bird came out as
that
he left.
Bird.
Yeah.
They're squawking.
So, but what's that line? And and I don't know where you stand on this, but I just feel like, come on. It's not even so much the players, the coaches, the officials on the floor. It's the people around you.
Mm.
You have to listen to some jerk screaming and yelling and using bad language throughout the game. I hate that.
And, you know, they didn't get the first down like I wanted, and so it's time for me to wish death upon every generation of their family henceforth and anybody that's helped that family. The thing that pops in my head is one of the quotes – many quotes my dad has given me over the years. Act like you've been there before, right? Let's act when we get into that end zone. Maybe we don't need the craziest of celebrations, right? Now, I don't want to rain on anybody's fun. I think that's a bad thing. So I'm okay with the celebrations. But when it comes to just taking up space amongst other people, there's got to be a bare minimum. And we just don't meet it. I don't know if it was ever met. And maybe we're just more aware of everybody's just ineptitude to be able to meet that. Or maybe it's just gotten more encouraged. I think that there's a certain amount of personal pride that gets fanned. The flames get fanned. Sometimes you tap into them in the nationalistic sense as we watch the Ryder Cup. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later, too. And so there's this kind of permission to be a buffoon. But you got to give it to yourself. And I just don't understand people who do that to themselves, because I just don't think you hold yourself in high enough regard then.
Yeah. There's certain things, you know, public drunkenness.
Yeah.
You know, bad language, you know, on the street, in public places. I just don't know why, you know, sporting events afford people this. You can cheer, you can boo, you know, all of those sorts of things. But, you know, where you start crossing the line, and we did get a text, and we'd love to get your feedback on fan behavior. And I think this goes all the way back to U Sports.
You know it too, Steve.
Yeah. You know, parents who have been ejected or banned for, you know, getting on the coaches, getting on the officials. You know, I just have zero tolerance at that level. Once you get to the pro level, things become blurred. You know, it's sports entertainment. You know, it's different. You know, youth sports, high school sports level, absolutely zero tolerance for any of that boorish behavior. But a text, the fans at Bethpage are being brutal and unsportsmanlike to Rory and several of the other Euros. The U.S. fans are deserving of whatever the Euros throw back at them. Nice try being a victim. By the way, Europe leads the United States 8.5, 3.5. They need just 6 points. Or do they need 5.5 to I think they just need 5.5.
I just don't understand. Retain the cup. I don't understand the scoring. Like, I'm just like, hit the ball in the hole. And I love golf. I've played golf. Cannot figure out Ryder Cup scoring to save my life.
I think they need 14 to retain the cup, because 14 would be a draw. My point being is, you're up in the afternoon matches, 2-2 square. They're up in 2. So they are flat out dominating. So, the people at Bethpage lashing out. But I think that text hits a nail on the head. You know, brutal and unsportsmanlike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when does it cross that line? And
when it becomes about you.
Yeah, I suppose. But I'd love to get your thoughts. 651-461-9226. You know, Cheryl Reeve, did she cross the line by swearing back at a spectator on her way off the floor into the locker room following the late ejection last night? Or is Rory McIlroy across the line? And once again, There is no circumstance in youth sports or, you know, through the high school level, and I think you could even argue at the college level, you know, lay off on the refs, lay off on the coaches, lay off on the players.
It's a game.
Pros, we get into a gray area. And some of the things I've seen over the years coming out of the mouths of spectators at high school sports, it's, are you serious? Are we really doing that?
We'll say it to the kids, too, Steve. It's not just the refs. They'll say it to the kid's face. Like some 12-year-old Jimmy just got emotionally abused in the hallway by some mom who forgot to take her meds this morning and then her kid lost, so she's got a score to settle. Like, it's a bizarre behavior. It truly is.
I don't know if you've seen this, but when my oldest daughter played youth hockey.
Most well-behaved parents, as you know, youth hockey.
Yeah.
For sure.
The police got involved in one of the arenas.
What arena?
The cops were called.
What rink?
I don't want to give too much info because it might give it away.
Steve, give us the rink.
All right.
We're not going to expect it in the association.
The Ice Forum in Champlin.
Oh, Champlin Park.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
no.
Cops got involved. Mom got so out of hand. The Champlin police were called in to sort things out.
My God.
I kid you not.
Was it over a call? Was it over ice time? Was it a bullying incident? Like, there's a lot of different shades in which it leads people to that level.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
There was a lot that had built up to the moment to the Champlin police coming into the... Now, that was years ago.
Years ago.
Past the statute of limitation. 13 minutes now in front of one. If you've got a thought, 651-461-9226. Fan behavior. And then beyond that, the coaches or the players going back at the fans. Fair game. 651-461-9226 here in a Saturday at News Talk, 830-WCCO. Shaletta has a day off. She'll be back next Saturday. Steve in early today. Lindsay is here through 4:30 in our lineup card, Twins and Phillies. Two to go in the regular season for the home nine. They'll close it out tomorrow. Then it's on to the off season. We'll talk more MLB later on here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. We'll get you up to date. College football. Gophers playing today early at Huntington Bank Stadium in a full slate of games in the Northern Sun, the MIAC, etc. We'll try and sneak in some scores before we bring you the Twins and the Phillies. Back to a wild finish last night. Phoenix beats Minnesota. They're up 2-1 in the WNBA Finals. Cheryl Reeve ejected. Had a lot to say about the officiating in the game. We did get a text. Saw the replay last night. That was a clean pick out of Collier's hand. In other words, a steal. Then there was contact afterward. And there's no doubt Collier's leg was out. And as part of the steal, you know, in slow-mo, was it a foul? The fact that Fee went down injured and missed a good chunk of time with injury, and the fact that she wasn't getting a lot of calls all night, as Cheryl Reeve pointed out, didn't go to the line, was called for five fouls in the game, just felt like the Lynx weren't getting anything and got beat in the level of frustration. And I think of all the calls in the game, that was one. Well, she did make the steal first, then there was contact. And then who's the foul on at that point?
Right.
And that's what makes that extremely difficult.
Right. And it's not a malicious play. I mean, we've seen how many instances where it's like, this is clearly a malicious play, and we're debating whether or not it's a malicious play. It makes you question your reality. But last night's, it's just one of those hard plays that resulted in an injury on the follow through, right? And so just because it happened doesn't mean that it was on purpose. But the question is, should it have been penalized? Yeah, that's and you can make an argument each way.
Yeah. So I think that was a culmination of the end of game two, frustrating for the Lynx. why they didn't foul up by three late in the game. Fee had a makeable shot to win it in regulation. All of the things, and then what went down in game three led to the moment. But I still think it gets back to the point. In the pro game, pro sports, whether it's a Ryder Cup or the WNBA or an NFL game or MLB, that there is some sort of line for the spectators. And I'm glad clubs, teams are doing more that if there is a bad actor in a fan completely out of hand, you know, you can send a text discreetly because everybody's on their phone at sporting events, you know.
That doesn't annoy you at all,
right? Of
course,
you can't have your phone at the Masters, but everywhere else you can. And you can text and say, hey, there's a jerk three rows behind me, you know, and I'm in section row, you know, this guy's abusing people. I think they're trying to do more to clamp down on that. But I cannot blame Rory McIlroy or Cheryl Reeve for chirping back. I can't.
No.
I can't blame them at all.
No. Sometimes the best answer, Steve, is simply discourse. Spirited discourse, but discourse nonetheless.
Yeah. And I know you are still involved in youth sports, and I think you share my opinion. There is absolutely zero tolerance. I think if your parent, family, friend coming to a youth sporting event, cheer. Otherwise, keep your mouth shut.
Right. How do you want your kids to remember you when they came to your game? Right? How do you want them to remember how they supported you? What were you doing at the games?
Well, the parent, you know, climbing the glass to scream at an official, or go down outside the locker room and talk to the coach about playing time.
Mm-hmm.
Really, this is what we're doing.
It makes you wonder what the conversations are like in the car rides home with the kid.
Yeah,
and you want
what's best for your kids. But here's the beauty of sports, that if there's an abusive coach situation, that's a different story. But I think the vast majority of coaches are there for the right reasons. And when it comes to playing time or playing decisions or so on and so forth, I've known this to be universally true. Coaches are going to put their best players on the field, the court, the ice at any given time. You know, and even though you want the best for your kids, maybe your kid, I use this example, and I think this is fitting. I go back to the Sandlot when we were kids, and all the kids in the neighborhood would get together and we'd play football, or we'd play Sandlot baseball, or whatever the game was. Or we'd play hoops in somebody's driveway, 3-on-3. And we'd do the old pick the teams. The kids know who the best players are.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Yeah,
the kids know.
Kids are really smart, Steve. We don't give them enough credit. We usually don't really treat them like people, period. But we certainly don't give them enough credit.
Yeah, but wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah.
That if you ask the kids on any given team, at any level, who the best players are, they all know who the best players are.
Well, and that sometimes, Steve, that's not the most important thing. I think that's where it gets lost, too. Like, it's not a moral failing if your kid isn't on power play one, right?
Absolutely.
It doesn't say anything about you as a parent if you didn't sign up your kid for that two-week hockey camp that everybody else went to. Because guess what? There's always going to be more hockey to play. And does it mean maybe your kid won't play in college? That's fine. It's okay. I would rather aim for a good generation of a sense of self, of self-worth, of respect for one another, for your body, for your time, the sacrifices that people make around you. Like, that's what this is about. It's all the lessons. It's not the stats and everything else, but it's just, it's too big of a business now.
Yeah. Teamwork, working with others, et cetera. And that circles back around to the parents who need to just show up and cheer and be supportive, and that's it. You know, the lesson of sport is not, as you say, be on power play one or be on the first line or be a starter. It is about working with others and being part of a team and working together. That's, I think, the value of sport for kids. We've got a break. We have the news. We have the weather. Stephen Clark, Ars Technica, space flight coming up following the news and weather.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.